Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today we'll discuss that urgent call out for any community facility to house refugees in a moment. Also, with the first anniversary of Putin's invasion in Ukraine coming up in just a few weeks, how likely is he to make a further push for control and how ready is Ukraine's defence? If you're cycling in Ireland today, you're advised to wear a helmet, but should it be the law? We discuss as Ireland take on Wales in the opening game of the Six Nations. Former Irish rugby international Lindsay Peat examines the team's chances of glory. Just 3% of 18 to 29-year-olds have taken their second COVID booster. The HSE announces walk-in clinics this weekend. And protests against asylum seeker accommodation, disputed nursing home charges, and all the rest of the week's big news stories discussed in the gathering later. 51551 for your texts. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Now, as I was saying, the Minister for Integration, Roderic O'Gorman, has written to government departments urgently seeking buildings to accommodate refugees. Those buildings can be located anywhere in the country, and large halls where camp beds, mattresses and sleeping bags can be set out for people are being sought. Ciara Phelan, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner, joins me first on this morning. So, Ciara, you've seen this letter. Just explain to us what the Minister says.
Good morning, Claire. Yes, that's correct. Roderic O'Gorman often sends such letters to government departments, but it seems that the urgency has definitely picked up a notch in the letter that he sent to cabinet colleagues last night. So, as you mentioned, actually for the first time, the letter is seeking out sleeping bags and mattresses, so indicating that refugees may be placed on floors in these vacant premises that the minister is looking for. He did indicate earlier on in the week, I believe in Morning Ireland, that the government are looking to set up rest centres across the country. And this is in response to, of course, that the City West Transit Hub closed last week. And in the letter, Minister O'Gorman indicates again that it will be a prolonged closure, and these rest centres are essentially going to be set up so that those who have not been offered accommodation can be placed here. And in the letter, he said to his government ministers that he's looking for their urgent assistance in sourcing from their sectors or stakeholders any large building that would have capacity for up to 50 people or greater than that, that can be utilised by his department urgently.
Is there any indication, Ciara, that Roderic O'Gorman's department have been left to their own devices on this? Is there support coming from other departments in finding this refugee and asylum seeker accommodation?
Well, what I'm hearing from government sources is that, Roderic O'Gorman has been asking for a long time. And like I mentioned to you there, that this isn't the first letter he's sent. But it seems that there is only some support coming from certain government departments. He also acknowledged earlier on in an interview this week that he has had engagement from the Taoiseach's department, the Department of Defence. We know that Kilbride Barracks has been offered in Wicklow, and there is consultation happening there for similar barracks as well across the country. But it seems that that Roderic O'Gorman is really struggling at the moment with support from other departments, and this message is honing home that he wants to get other government departments to offer up any of buildings, especially when he mentioned from sector or stakeholders.
Okay, Ciara, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much, Ciara Phelan there from The Examiner. Now, for more on this, I'm joined on the line by Sean Boyce, who's chairman of Rosslare Harbour Friends of Ukraine. And Sean, we have spoken numerous times on the programme over the last year. You've always said there should be a plan. You've been calling for that right from the start. What do you say about this call out now for the likes of community halls where sleeping bags can be put down on the floor for people to stay?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. As you've said there, from the very word go, I did start calling for a planned approach. At the time, I think I said an effort style approach. I suppose that worked well with COVID. But the situation we find ourselves in now is ridiculous, really. We're a year down the line, and even if we had given ourselves a couple of months' grace for when it started, why didn't we start planning last May and look at the long-term feasibility of housing people and receiving people in? You know, calling out again, putting more pressure back on the communities now again is not the way to go about things. And if the minister has been isolated, you know, within government, that needs to change. And there needs to be a whole of government approach to this. I believe there should be a ministry to look after this particular crisis and also the other international protection applicants that we have coming into the country.
Yeah, this is what the Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacic, was calling for, the appointment of a special minister with responsibility for housing refugees. Can I ask you, Sean, because I know you were involved in helping to coordinate some of the offers of accommodation that came from people who were willing to either use a vacant home that they themselves had or have people in their own home. Where is that at now?
That all seems to have gone a little bit by the wayside as well, Claire. You know, obviously the Red Cross took it on in the beginning and they were overwhelmed, you know, even by their own admission. You know, there was so much will from people out there to manage that. Then it was handed to local authorities who did their best with small teams around the country trying to coordinate it. Then it kind of went back to the Red Cross again. And now it kind of seems to have fizzled out. You know, I would speak to people regularly who would have pledged, you know, from the very word go that they would offer up their premises and take in people. But they were never taken up on that, or maybe they had one or two visits and then it died away. Mm-hmm. So they got fed up or they moved on to something else with the property. But it seems to be up in the air, you know, and people who are being turned away, you know, with the City West being closed and things like that, that's feeding back into the homelessness crisis, and it's not giving people the stability that they need to live their lives. You know, we see locally here in Rosslare Harbour, you know, we're lucky in that people who arrived here have stayed, they've got employment, the kids are in school, and things are nice and stable, they're integrated with the community. But you can't do that if you're living on the streets of Limerick or Cork or Dublin. It's just impossible.
The other aspect of this, of course, is the growing number of protests that we're seeing right around the country now. How do you think that this call out today will impact sentiment towards people coming into the country?
I think it's very frustrating. You know, people have the right to protest, and many are protesting on the right grounds. But, you know, the communities haven't been resourced properly. They haven't been informed properly in many cases. And it's landed on them as a little bit of a surprise. And this call now, and one key phrase in the letter says, anywhere in the country. Now, that stinks of it's not planned. So you could end up with somewhere that is maybe very rural or very isolated or already very populated with new communities, as we like to call them. And that's going to cause unrest, you know. So why don't we inform people properly and resource those communities that have had large influxes of unplanned people coming in, you know, provide those community centres, provide those extra resources that communities need. And they do need them. You know, when you get an extra 300, 400, 500 people arriving into a community, the resources that were there were fit for purpose or maybe slightly below fit for purpose before that happened. So now we need to bolster that and improve things. And if people have the promise or they see construction or they see things developing, I believe that they would be more receptive and see that, you know, the strain is not coming on the school, the strain is not coming on whatever resource might be the topic. So we need to inform people, we need to support the communities, and again, we need to plan it. You know, I can't see any planning here. And I kind of feel sorry for the minister this morning, because it looks like he's scrambling around on his own and he's not receiving support from other departments. But, you know, I think he has other jobs to do within his own department. But there should be somebody in charge of this at the top, so that all the government organisations and indeed the NGOs can work with that department and feed back up to whoever's in charge.
Okay, Sean, thank you very much. And we're going to be broadcasting from Wexford next week, and hopefully we'll catch up with Sean Boyce then. I'm joined now by Seamus Boland, CEO of Irish Rural Link. Good morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Claire.
What do you make of this urgent appeal from Roderick O'Gorman? Sports halls, yeah, Arts centres, conference centres, anywhere in the country to accommodate refugees?
Yeah, well, clearly, as Sean said, it is a kind of a sign of desperation, and it's a kind of it describes enormously the problem that we now have, which is getting out of control. Look, the problem about the call, of course, will be how many of these will really be available and even suitable. You must remember, community centres are hubs of the local communities. It's not like the old days when it was just the sort of monthly dance and that was it. They occupy places where children go, where mothers go, where older people go for events. It's daily and evening centres for classes, etc. So they are occupied and in many ways the lifeblood of the community. So trying to get them available will be very difficult. And also the question is for how long, because more than likely this is long term. Where you have halls and community places not in use, the chances are there's a good reason they're not in use. The buildings are not fit for purpose, or the community has moved somewhere else, and you're talking about a massive preparation phase in order to get them even sort of ready.
But the ones that are in use, you say they're hugely valuable to the community.
Yes, I mean, I would argue the whole reason we have what I call communities who are responsible, who are working hard to deliver reasonable services, et cetera, is because of these places. They're essential. Every area, whether it's a GA community centre or just a community centre, they're extremely busy. You can rock up to any of these places day or night or day or evening and you'll find they're busy. Mm-hmm. So it's dangerous to displace those things, and anyway, you'd have to ask the question, is this long-term, is this short-term, what? And Sean is right, what sort of planning is around it? But I think it's not going to be as easy as maybe people think.
Okay. Now, some communities we know have argued that they didn't get consulted, they weren't informed before refugees were moved into an area. How concerned are you by that pattern?
Look, I'm always concerned in all communities. It's not just rural communities. If you really don't tell people in advance, that means contacting the leaders. I know in Irish Rural Link we have county champions who are very good at advising governments or anyone else about the reality in their area. You have to let people know. You have to make sure there's no secrecy or there's nothing to hide or anything like that, because otherwise rumours begin to spread and certain people feed on those. And then you'd be amazed. Once you do that, you actually turn the equation around. People actually start to help and begin to solve some of the problems locally.
Well, that's one way they could respond. But Seamus, you know the argument which says if we consult and if we tell people well in advance, it gives people the opportunity to mobilise and protest in an even greater way than what we've seen so far.
Well, then hiding away from them won't solve the problem either. There are leaders in every community, as I said, urban and rural. There are people involved in sports, there are people involved in drama, culture, all of that. You talk to those leaders because they inevitably are the best people to go to, and they then will in turn give the kind of advice, and they will also show leadership in their own area. Yeah. Because, look, many refugees are settled in communities, in houses, and it's working very well.
Okay.
Because people got the information.
Seamus, thank you very much. Seamus Boland there from Irish Rural Link. One of the key elements of refugee accommodation has, of course, been hotels. But in the coming weeks and months, they'll be faced with a question whether to return to more regular tourism business or to accept or continue with government contracts for refugee accommodation. Now, Michael Vaughan is a hotelier in Lahinch in County Clare. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Now, we just wanted to get your sense of what's happening in the hotel community. Do you have any idea how many hotels will decide to go back to regular tourism business in the coming weeks?
We don't really, because, you know, it's not an issue that's discussed widely among hoteliers, and the contracts are private contracts between parties, so it's difficult. But the theme around this question, for instance, the original contract was a full board, all meals included, and the new contract is a room only, so meals not provided. And in hotels, the majority of employment in a hotel is in the food and drink provision. And hotels will be trying to weigh up, trying to hold on to people, their staff, what will that impact have on their staffing in the hotel? And also, if the residents are cooking for themselves, where and how do they provide the cooking facilities? And these are questions that are there. You see, in the original run of things with COVID, the business of many of the hotels, which are seasonal, really, was wiped out because the market wasn't there for them. The European tourists who would be particularly in the budget market, they weren't travelling. But that is now starting to change. And, you know, hotels may not exit completely. They may decide to give a certain percentage of their rooms in contract, but it is going to be, there's going to be a reduction, no doubt.
And is it expected that tourism will return to capacity levels now in the spring?
Not so much, because, you know, it depends on the area, but many of the hotels that are providing this provision, particularly counties like Donegal, here in County Clare and in Kerry, are seasonal, and the booking for the tourist is normally around this time of the year. So hotels will probably be trying to hold out as long as they can to see what type of bookings are there. And then you have the hotels who want to stay in contract trying to hold on to their links with business, because, you know, it takes up to 10 or 12 years to build up your business and contacts internationally, and they won't want to lose that, and they'll be looking for other hotels who might take the business that displaced. And that's not so easy, because while we don't expect tourism to really return until 2026, there is a growing strength in tourism, and it is causing issues.
We saw in the Examiner this week that some hotels are owed up to 400,000 from the government for accommodating Ukrainian refugees. How much of a factor do you think that will be in deciding whether to renew those contracts?
Well, you see, there's so many different business models involved in this. There are some investors now who have gone into the market just wholly on the idea of buying a hotel for provision of government services. And they may or may not be well-funded. It depends on the position of the bank. Mostly banks, when you have a government contract, would be happy to loan to you to get over the hiatus. But cash flow would be an issue, because staff have to be paid and bills. Particularly, part of the reason, too, for the reticence maybe of some hotels would be the energy costs have gone really out of kilter. And what was a viable contract maybe at the start, they may be hoping to renegotiate terms so that they can get some accommodation for the costs that are increasing by the day.
Michael, thank you for giving us that overview of what's happening in the hotel business. That's Michael Vaughan, a hotelier in Lahinch in County Clare. Now, air raid sirens have been heard right across Ukraine this morning. We'll be finding out what's happening now and what the outlook is for the coming month or so. That's after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.